हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां सद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः. अथातो ब्रह्मजिज्ञासा जन्माद्यस्य यतः. सो इन् दि फस्ट् सूत्र वि सेड् वि हाव् टु मेक् ब्रह्मन् एन्क्वैरि. And then we said that inquiry is possible only when we establish that there is Brahman. And to establish Brahman, we said the lakshana pramanabhyam vastu siddhihi. Something is established only when we give its lakshana, its definition. And also the pramanam. So lakshanam and pramanam both are needed. And pramanam is the means of knowing the Brahman. Then we said the second sutra gives Brahma lakshanam, and then the third sutra presents Brahma pramanam, the means of knowing Brahman. And the pramanam for Brahman or jagat karanam is shastra, Vedas shastram. So shastra yonitvat, shastra pramanakatvat brahmanaha. So this is what we said actually in the last lecture also. So now the Nayayikas, they give a suggestion which we will refute. And what do they say? They say, why cannot we take the second sutra as pramanam for Brahman also? Instead of just only lakshanam, it could be also taken as pramanam also for Brahman. And they explain it further also. They say, the second sutra defines Brahman or Ishvara as jagat karanam. Then what is jagat of the universe? It is very simple. For example, if Dasharatha is Rama's father, the Rama is Dasharatha's son. So if Brahman or Ishvara is karanam of the world, then the world should be karyam of Brahman, effect of Brahman. So Ishvara karanam, jagat karyam. Now the Nayayika says, since Ishvara is karanam, we use the word Ishvara because Nayayikas use that in place of Brahman. So that's why we are using it also here. Therefore, the Nayayikas say, the invisible Ishvara can be inferred from the visible world. For example, like the invisible father in India for somebody can be inferred from the son who is in front of us here. So the invisible root of a tree can be inferred from the visible tree in front of us. So invisible fire can be inferred from the visible smoke. So invisible karana Ishwaraha can be referred from visible karya prapancha, the universe. Therefore, he says, the pramanam for Ishwara is anumanam, inference. And this anumanam is popularly known in Tarka Shastra as karya lingaka anumanam. It means the inference of karanam from karyam is karya lingaka anumanam. It's another new word. So he says, shastram is not required to prove Ishvara and logic itself is enough to prove. So to put it in practical language, the final idea is Ishvara can be established through reasoning. This is the contention of Tarkikas. And what we are going to do? We will say no. Ishvara cannot be established through pure logic, anumanam, without the help of shastram is our stand. Ishvara is proved through shastram only. There is radical difference between Vedantins and Tarkikas. They say logic is necessary and primary to prove Ishvara, but Shankaracharya says it is not so. The second sutra does not provide anumana pramanam for Brahman or Ishvara Siddhi. Acharya gives a very simple reason. There are so many sub-commentators, they go on and give a lot of further reasons also. But the simple reason is, if the second sutra provides anumana pramanam for Brahman or Ishvara, these Brahma sutras cannot be called Vedanta sutras at all. Vyasacharya does not propound a philosophy by using his reasoning power. All other darshanas have propounded a philosophy by using reasoning power, their own reasoning. The six Nastika darshanas are all Anumanam based darshanas. Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaiseshika are all Anumanam based. That is why Shankaracharya calls them as Tarkika system. Even the Sankhyas, Yoga and all that, they accept Shruti Pramanam only as secondary to logic. The Nastikas do not accept Shastra Pramana at all. All others accept Shastra Pramanam, but give Vedas only a stepmotherly treatment. And the uniqueness of Brahma Sutra is what? Vyasacharya does not establish a philosophy through logic. He uses reasoning only to derive a philosophy from the Vedas alone. And not to propound a philosophy, but to understand the Vedic teachings. And to derive a cogent systematic philosophy out of the Upanishads. Therefore, every sutra has got Vedanta Vakyam for analysis. Therefore, if you say second sutra provides Anumana Pramana for establishing Ishvara or Brahman, then importance will go to Anumanam. And it will not be Shastra-based system. So if we do so, we will defeat the intention of Vyasacharya. Therefore, Shankaracharya gives a beautiful line, and it is an often quoted quotation, Vedanta Vakya Kusuma Grathanartatvatu Sutrana. It is there in the Bhashya. Vedanta Vakya Kusuma Grathanartanatvatu Sutrana. He is very, Sutram provides an Anumanam, logic, all right. But this Anumanam is not independent Anumanam. And it is used to bring out the Vedantic teachings in a cogent form, in a cohesive form. And he gives the example. It is like a thread used to make a garland out of the flowers of Vedanta Vakyam. While the whole Anumanam or Tarka is like a thread without any independent use. Here the garland is Vedanta Darshanam. And the flowers are Vedanta Vakyas. So Tarka is only hiding behind the flowers to keep them in orderly form. It is a secondary thread. Therefore, no sutra provides Anumanam as the main thing. Therefore, second sutra is not an independent Anumanam, but it is only to analyze the Vedanta Vakyam. And what is the Vedanta Vakyam that we saw yesterday? Yato va ima nibhuta nijayante, yena jata nijivanti, yat prayanti vishambhisanti. So that Vedanta Vakya has been brought out by the second sutra and Brahma Lakshanam is given. Therefore, second sutra is only the Lakshana Sutra and not Pramana Sutra. This is a simpler answer that Shankaracharya gives. Now the sub-commentators of Brahma Sutra, they go further and they bring out some more ideas. We'll see them also. The Nayayikas say, second sutra provides Anumanam as Pramanam to establish Ishvara. But their belief is, Ishvara can be logically established. Vedantin is against this view. Ishvara can be revealed only through Shastram. Ishvara revealed through Shastram can be assimilated by logic. When Nayayika logically establishes Ishvara, Vedantins prove that logic is defective. Vedantins' arguments look as though he is a Nastika even. We only argue Ishvara is only revealed through Shastra alone. We use logic also to assimilate the Shastra revealed Ishvara. We don't use logic to establish logic independently. Now let us need that argument also, let us see. So we have to see two things together now. One is, we see how the Nayayika establishes Ishvara logically. That is number one. Number two, thereafterwards, we have to point out the defects in their logic. So the Nayayika arrives at Ishvara through three anumanas, logical statements. Number one, Jagat sakartrikam karyatvat ghatavat. In fact, he does not use the word Jagat at all, but he uses a technical word called Kriti Ankuradakam. So what he says is, the Kriti means Bhumi. Ankura means the plants. Therefore, Bhumi plants, the earth plants and all, they are all, it is like that. That is his first Anumana. It's Anumana number one. And what is the significance of this Anumana? He says, the world must have a creator because it is an effect. It created effect, karyatvat, like a pot. And he uses a vyapti, a generalization also, because no inference is possible without a vyapti. We have already seen all that. Yad yad karyam tat tat sa kartrukam. Whatever is a product must have a producer. The world is a karyam, and therefore it must have got a karta. Through this first step, he arrives at that there is a creator. This is Nayayika's argument one. Then he gives the second anumanam. Jagat karta ishwaraha jiva binnatve sati chetanatvat. We will explain this also later. I am just only giving the anumana vakyam now. First example is now, vyatirekena kulalavate. In first anumanam, he said there must be a creator, a potter. In the second anumanam, he says the creator must be Ishvara alone. Because I know there is a creator, and I also know that no jiva has created this world. There is a creator other than jiva. Not only that, he is an intelligent being also. So what is intelligent being other than jiva? Jagat and Ishvara only, and only Ishvara should be the creator. Therefore, parisheshanyayena Ishvaraha is the creator. Jagat karta Ishvaraha jiva binnatve sati chetanatvatim vetirekena kulalavatim. Unlike a potter, he should be an intelligent being. So he should be the creator. And we can give an example. We cannot give an example actually, which is like Ishvara, because being none, there is nothing, no other person like Ishvara. We cannot give an example. So we give the unlike example, not the like example, but the unlike example of a potter. This is the second anumana. And what is the vyapti for that generalization? Yati jiva binnatve sati chetanam tati Ishvaraha. Whatever is conscious being, chetanam, other than jiva, must be Ishvara. That is the argument. So in the first step, he establishes there is a creator. And in the second step, he establishes that creator is Ishvara. And he gives another reasoning also. The third anumana, Ishvara is sarvajnaha, sarvakartrutvad, vetirekena, again kulalavata. Kulalavata means potter. He has to be omniscient because he is creator of everything, unlike a potter. So vyapti is here what? Yatram sarvakartrutvam, tatram sarvajnatvam api bhavati, yo yatkartam sayatnyaha. It is iti vyaptehe. So these two inferences. He creates, he says, Nayayika logically establishes sarvajna Ishvaraha also. So they say, we don't require Veda for Ishvara Siddhi. Scientists also don't accept Shastram. They always want to establish everything logically. We say, we establish Ishvara through Shastram alone. Nayayika establishes things through reasoning. Therefore, they appear superior in the view of scientists. We want to negate this. We say all three anumanas propounded by the Nayayikas are defective. The first anumana is what? Jagatim sa kartrukam karyatvatim ghatavate. World has a creator because it is a product like pot. For that, we use vyapti jnana. And what is the vyapti? Yad yad karyam tat sa kartrukam. Whatever is product, there must be a creator, like pot, appears clear. This is clear. So in anumana, you require a vyapti, and most important thing is this vyapti jnanam is gained through pratyaksha pramanam. And what is the example? Mountain has fire because there is smoke. I'm going through this thing because we already discussed the entire thing, the fire and the smoke in the mountain. So wherever there is smoke, there is fire. So this vyapti we have done by observation. Therefore, your view is what? Wherever there is a product, there is a creator. And we should remember, vyapti arrived at by observation is acceptable. only when it holds good in all cases. There cannot be, I can say, this can, there is an exception and all. Also, exception should not be there. It should be applicable in all cases. Then vyapti will collapse if there are exceptions. Suppose someone gives a vyapti, wherever there is fire, there is smoke. We don't accept it. Why? We have exceptions proved by our own pratyaksha. Because there are modern day stoves, there is no smoke, but there is fire. So what are the points to be remembered now? Number one, vyapti has to be proved by perception. Number two, if you want to generalize anything, should be proved by perception. Number two, vyapti proved by perception should not have an exception. It should be applicable in all cases. Now, Vedantin argues, you say, whatever is a product, there is a creator. Who? The Nayayikas. It is proved through perception. Now, the Vedantin says, only in the case of artificial product, you are able to prove a creator through perception. Whereas in case of any natural product, like what? A tree in a faraway Amazon jungle, inaccessible jungle. It is a product also. And can you prove a creator through perception? Therefore, wherever there is a product, there is a creator, that vyapti is not perceptually proved. Because in all natural products like these, there is vyapti. So this is called vyabhichara. This is the first defect in the first anumana. And now the second anumana is jagat karta ishwaraha. And in this vyapti, he is assuming whatever is a conscious being other than jiva is involved, that conscious being must be Ishvara. This is the vyapti generalization he makes. What is the rule? Vyapti jnanam must be gathered by perception alone. And how can you talk about a conscious being other than jivaha? Because through perception, we cannot talk of a conscious being other than jiva. Jiva alone is perceptible to us. Therefore, in the absence of perception of Ishvara, this vyapti also is not acceptable because it is defective in the absence of perception of Ishvara. Now the third anumana is what? The third anumana is Ishvaraham sarvajnaha sarvakartrutvad vetirekena kulalavate. So what he does? Ishvara is omniscient because he is the creator of everything. So to negate this, we should know some axiom. The Nayayika has assumed, and he says, any knowledge is born out of mind because he depends upon perception and inference heavily. And perceptually we see, and wherever there is a mind, there is knowledge. So he made a generalization. Wherever there is knowledge, there should be born, it should be born out of mind. Then he has made another statement somewhere, maybe thoughtlessly. All logically derived systems will have a very big problem. Namely, when one tries to make all statements together and make them consistent, we will have a problem. Even modern science will be full of fallacies in that case. If we try to tie up the matter, for example, all these things which are all separate, matter, consciousness, mind, creation, the laws governing them, all of them together, if you want to tie up all of them. Science is wonderful because it does not want to analyze consciousness. Therefore, each system of science is trying to take away consciousness from its system and give it to all other systems for them to look at consciousness. Similarly, consciousness, whether it comes under neurology, under quantum science, psychology, in any form of science, each one is not able to explain consciousness. Therefore, all the darshanas have problem when it comes to the question of jnana. Nayayika also has made two statements. What are the two statements he made? Number one, knowledge is born out of mind. And number two, Ishvara does not have mind. Ishvaraha ashariraha. That's what he says. The problem is what? How can Ishvara be sarvajnaha? Because he has taken away mind from Ishvara. Nayayikas have taken away mind from Ishvara. Because he found that wherever mind is, samsara is. So that is his conclusion. That's what one cannot say Ishwaraha Sarvajnaha, because Ishwaraha cannot have jnana at all because he has no mind. He has no body. So the third anumanam also is wrong. Therefore, to establish Ishwara with Shastra only. Therefore, the Upanishad tells, never go to logic when the truth comes. When this is said, we might get into misunderstanding that Tarka is totally useless. We have to be very careful. Acharya is extremely careful. Therefore, Acharya says, no, Tarka is very important in Vedanta. Actually, anybody who studies Vedanta has to go through Tarka. Total rejection is not correct at all about Tarka. When Shruti says, Shrotavyaha Mantavyaha, the word Mantavyaha indicates Tarka is important to understand Brahman. The whole Brahma Sutra is logical analysis of Brahman. That is what is said in Upanishads. That is why we call Brahma Sutra as what? Nyaya. It's a Nyaya Grantha. So use Tarka as subservient means in understanding Vedanta, as a funnel for pouring Vedantic teaching. Our brain is too small. Therefore, we require Tarka to funnel and to pour Vedantic knowledge into our mind. Therefore, there are two types of Tarkas also. One is based on Shastra. So one Tarkika system based on Shastras, and another one is Kevala Tarka, independent Tarka. We don't accept that at all. Some misconceptions are also removed by Tarka. So Shankaracharya compares and contrasts Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. And in Karma Kanda, Tarka is not very important and it has very, very limited role. Because in Karma Kanda, procedures of doing, they are all important. We should have sufficient knowledge of how to perform a ritual. In Karma Kanda, knowledge does not produce results. And because after doing a karma only, you produce results. So action is required. I need not have knowledge, but I should do. I should do the karma. Knowing has direct role in Karma Kanda, and doing has direct role in Karma Kanda. Knowing does not have direct role. So in Karma Kanda, benefit is a product to be accomplished in time. Keep on doing the karma, and one day the benefit will be enjoyed. It deals with producing something in future. Doing is important and knowing is not so important. It is not that by the study of Vedanta, I know the procedure and then I have to practice. Here alone we commit a mistake. Vedanta does not deal with the future event created or processed. We don't learn any new technique through Vedanta, no new procedure. We learn no new method. We don't want to implement anything. What Vedanta does is what? It deals with the fact, an accomplished fact of knowing Brahman. Nothing to be accomplished. It's an accomplished fact. No moksha or an event happens in future. An accomplished fact is moksha. One has to only understand. One has to only own up through knowledge. So the whole Vedanta process is one of understanding only, and there is no need for any action that we have emphasized all the time. So for example, if you take pranayama learning is not sufficient, but one has to be implemented practice. That is, the karma should be followed. So the knowledge of pranayama, how to do it, that should be followed by implementation for the learning to be effective. In Vedanta, we don't learn anything to be implemented. There is no need of any action to gain moksha once we own up Brahma. In Vedanta, understanding is an end in itself. Whatever obstacle in understanding is there should be knocked off by clear reasoning. Nothing to implement in Vedanta. One of the main obstructions comes from the intellect. As what? As samshaya, as doubt. Therefore, Tarka or Mananam is very important. Not independent Tarka, but to assimilate the Vedantic teaching. Never compare Vedanta to Karma Kanda. There is no implementation in Vedanta. Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava, they are all important in Vedanta to understand. And once understanding is over, there is nothing to be performed. The entire samsara is disturbance, is inadequacy. Moksha is freedom from samsara. If samsara is anubhava, moksha is shanti from sense of limitation, smallness. The understanding is complete when the viparita bhavana, habitual tendencies, they go away. In karmakanda, swarga anubhava is what? Is an eternal hope only. One has to wait for death to gain swargaloka. This is the plight of karmakandis. In Vedanta, Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava Pramanams are all there. All benefits of karmakanda is gained only after death, while benefit of jnanam is gained here and now. So Shankaracharya establishes Shruti, Sammata, Tarka in the second sutra. Now we will give the conclusion of the second sutra. So we have already done the word analysis, we have done the general analysis, now we are going to the conclusion, wherein also we have to discuss some important points. We will do that also. First is what? The technical presentation of this topic. We should know all about adhikaranams. We already mentioned earlier the lakshanam of an adhikaranam. There are 5 factors are there in technical presentation of a topic, adhikarana. And what are those? Each one we are going to see separately. Number 1 is subject matter, called vishayaha. And number 2 is doubts, samshaya. And the 3rd one is the view of purvapakshis. And 4th is the siddhanta's conclusion. And 5th is connection between the previous topic and the present topic. So all these we should know, sangati. So here the subject matter is Brahma lakshana, definition. And the doubt is, Brahman is astiva, nastiva. Is there definition or no definition? And Purvapaksha takes a wrong step. Purvapaksha. He says, there is definition of Brahma. He says, definition is given only through unique feature of the object. Therefore, definition is defined as unique feature by them, Purvapaksha. And you say, Brahman is featureless. That's what Vedantin says. Then how can it have an unique feature? Because it is said, Brahman is attributeless. Brahman is undefinable. So Brahma Lakshanam Nasti, that is his argument. So Siddhanta says, Brahma Lakshanam Asti. Yes, Brahma Lakshanam is there. So even we say, even though Brahma is really featureless, attributeless, we can define Brahman through superimposed or mithya features, like defining rope of our snake. Even though rope is snakeless, rope is rope, there is no snake in rope. There is superimposed feature of snake, I can define rope as adhishtanam, substratum. So the superimposed universe, Brahma can be defined as jagat karanam. So the first step is what? Connection between this and the previous topic. Previous topic is what? One should inquire into Brahma. Atato Brahma Jignasa. Here Brahma Lakshanam Jagat Karanatvam. So the connection is seen to be an Akshepa Sangati. Akshepa Sangati is the connection. It is the first topic leads to an objection. That is a continuation related to connection. The continuation of the objection. So the first topic leads to an objection, and that is answered in the second topic. And what is the objection in the first topic? You say, enquire Brahman. Brahman inquiry, that was the first topic. Once you have not proved Brahman existence through lakshanam or pramanam, how can you talk of enquiry of Brahman? This is the objection. And in the second topic, we prove the existence of Brahman through lakshanam. So this connection is called Akshepa Sangati. The objection raised in the first one, based on the first sutra, is connected here and answered. This is a significant sutra and the foundation sutra of entire Vedanta Shastra, the second sutra. We will now discuss some of the significant points of this sutra also. This gives the definition of Brahman as the material cause of creation. And the definition is called Tatastha Lakshanam or indirect Lakshanam and not Swarupa Lakshanam or direct Lakshanam. We saw all this yesterday. The famous Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahma is what? Satyam, jnanam anantam brahma. So definition, through the intrinsic feature of Brahman, this is Swarupa Lakshana. And Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman is Jagat Adhishtanam Brahma. In the second definition, Brahman is revealed through Jagat. And you take the world feature as the feature to define Brahman. World is not intrinsic nature of Brahman. If Brahman is compared to, for example, in our example yesterday for Tatastha Lakshanam, the house and the crow. If Brahman is compared to the house, the world is like the crow. The world is reduced to a crow only. So just as crow disappears, the world also disappears in Pralaya Kala. As also in Sushupti Kala. When you go to sleep also, world disappears. So Jagat Karanam Brahma is Tatastha Lakshana, which is revealed through Shastra. So a question might come, why Vyasacharya chose Tatastha Lakshanam to define Brahman when both are available for him? The reasoning is that in case of Brahman, Tatastha Lakshanam is easier to understand than Swarupa Lakshanam. Because in Tatastha Lakshanam, we take the external features of a thing which are clearly available and visible to access them. We go from known to unknown. Through the known world to unknown Brahman is easier to understand. So jnanam, anantam and all that thing, they are not easily understandable as they are subjective. Jnanam is nirvishesha chaitanyam, and I do not know jnanam itself. I want to know Brahman. I chose to know jnanam to know Brahman. Brahman is attributeless, and one unknown to another unknown is very difficult to follow. What is Brahman? It is pure consciousness. So definition of jnanam itself required Tatastha Lakshanam. Through Vritti Jnanam alone, I can know Swarupa Lakshanam. Vritti Jnanam is through thoughts in the mind, through analysis. So Swarupa Lakshana Jnanam required Tatastha Lakshanam to know Jnanam. So Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam is useful only after knowing Tatastha Lakshanam. In case of a house, Swarupa Lakshanam is okay. Color is visible, external features are visible, it is experienced. Whereas in case of Brahman, Satyam is known, Jnanam is unknown, Anantam is unknown. In Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. So hence Vyasacharya chose Tatastha Lakshanam to define Brahman. Here he has defined as Jagat Upadana Karanam. Brahman is the material cause of the Jagat. In the Upanishad, often we say Brahman is material cause of creation. Here, the Prakriti or Maya is presented as material cause of the creation. Yesterday, I think this decision came. I spoke about it. So Prakriti or Maya is presented as material cause of the creation. There is an Upanishad called Swetasvatara Upanishad. And there is a mantra that says, Mayam tu Prakritim Vidyatam Mayinam cha Maheshwaram tasya vayava bhutaistu vyaptam sarvam idam jagate. That is, know that Prakriti is Maya and the wielder of Maya is the great Lord. That whole world is pervaded by beings that are all parts of him. That is what Upanishad says. In other Upanishads also, Prakriti is being talked about. And also there is another important quotation also. We are going to see some of those things in later analysis. And in the 13th chapter, familiar to us, in the 19th sloka of Bhagavad Gita, in 13th chapter, he says, Prakriti impurushan chaivam vidva vidhyana vidyanati ubhavapi vidyanati ubhavapi vikara amshagunam chaivam vidhi prakriti sambhavan. It says, Prakriti is used to be the cause of production of physical body and organs of perception and action, organs of action. The Purusha or the consciousness is said to be cause of experiencing the pleasures and pains. Here also it says, Prakriti is material cause of creation. In Tattvabodha also, there is a mention of Maya as the material cause of creation. Sometimes Upanishads say Brahman is the material cause, and sometimes Upanishads say Purusha is the material cause of Brahman. All those things are all there. So if Brahman is material cause, it is Chetana. And if Prakriti is material cause, it is Achetana. So Vyasacharya chooses to say that Brahman, the Chetanam, is material cause of Achetana creation. And this cause has got lot of significance. Between Chetanam or Purusha, or Achetanam or Prakriti or Maya, Vyasacharya has chosen the former. Why is the question by Purvapakshis? We will give 5 reasons. Vyasacharya clearly differentiates Vedantic teaching from Sankhya philosophy. In most of the Brahma Sutras, Vyasacharya wants to criticize Sankhyas and separate himself from Sankhya predominantly. Vyasacharya's attack has been against Sankhya most of the time. He has to differentiate because many words are common between Sankhya system and Vedantic system. They also use the word Purushaha. In Vedanta also we have Purushaha. In Kathopanishad also Purusha is used to denote Brahman. It is defined as Asanga Chaitanya Atma. Prakriti is also used in Sankhya and in Vedanta. In both, Prakriti is changing. And the very word Sankhya is used to teach Vedantic teaching also in the Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter is called Sankhya Yoga. In Bhagavatam, Sankhya, Kapila Rishi, he gives his teaching. So Vyasacharya wants to show that Vedanta is different from Sankhya system. And the Sankhya says, Prakriti is material cause of the universe. And Vyasacharya says, Chetanam Brahman is material cause of the universe. And number 2, in all systems of philosophy, they talk from where the world originated. Even scientists are interested to know about the creation. They want to arrive at the basic stuff of matter. Even the energies are many. As long as plurality is there, they are not able to arrive at the basic stuff. Most of the philosophies arrive at the cause, and all of them say that material cause is the material or matter principle only in all of them. For Sankhya, Achetana Prakriti is the material cause. So if you take Nyaya and Vaisheshika, the basic material cause is atom or Paramanu, Paramanuvadaha. They say during Pralayam, only atom existed. And at appropriate time, all atoms built up to get up everything. They say Paramanus are Achetanam. The theory is what? Achetana Karanavada. That is their philosophy. If you go to Nastika systems, they also take to Achetana Karyavada. Another is Achetana Karanavada. All are reduced to Achetana matter, is basic cause of creation. Modern science also assumes matter alone is fundamental of all creation. They say consciousness has originated recently and that came out of matter only. They say consciousness is parallel reality equal to the matter. Or they say consciousness is product of matter. Either consciousness occupies equal importance or lesser importance only in all those systems. Some say even Atma is one type of matter, like any other matter. They talk about actually 9 types of matter. And in that 9 types, one is Atma. We know 4 types of matter: solid state, liquid state, gaseous state, plasma state, we know. And there is much more fundamental: Bose-Einstein condensate, photonic molecules, quarks, plasma, so superconductors, superfluids. Atma is also one of them. Some systems relate like that. If Atma is matter, it is Achetanam. Consciousness comes and goes in Atma. When consciousness comes, Atma becomes sentient. And when it goes away, Atma becomes insentient. Vedanta teaches consciousness is neither equal to matter nor subservient to matter, but superior to the matter. Uniqueness of Vedanta is what? Chetana Karanavadaha. This means consciousness is the basic cause, basic stuff or content. So Chetana Karanavada means consciousness is the stuff of the universe. And the second sutra presents Chetana Karanavada, and Vyasacharya distinguishes Vedanta from all other philosophies. It is the second reason that Vedavyasa gives. And the third reason is, no doubt, the Upanishad points out Brahman is the material cause of creation. And predominantly, Brahman is presented as material cause in Upanishad, except in few cases, that Vyasacharya will show this in the entire first chapter. We are going to see it. The Brahman is the material cause of the entire creation. He is going to show in the entire first chapter. And the fourth reason is, it's very important, in certain cases, Upanishad shows Prakriti also as material cause of creation. Why Upanishad contradicts is our question. If the Upanishads present both, it means Upanishad is either contradicting or misleading, or Upanishad itself is confused. Brahman and Prakriti are both Upadana Karanam is also correct. According to Upanishads, Prakriti does not exist independent of Purusha. Maya does not exist independent of Brahman. It is aswatantram. Since Maya is non-separate from Brahman, whatever is attributed to Maya can be attributed to Brahman. In the sense, when you say Prakriti is Karanam, it is as good as saying Brahman is the Karana. Prakriti is based on Brahman, borrows the very existence from Brahman. So Prakriti is Parinami Upadana Karanam. Yesterday, this is what, again, I mentioned this. And Brahman is Vivarta Upadana Karanam. That which lends existence for the other is called Parinama Karanam. And that which lends existence to Parinama Karanam is Vivarta Karanam, Vivarta Upadana Karanam. Therefore, Upanishad does not contradict, because Prakriti does not exist separate from Brahman. In Sankhya philosophy, Prakriti is independent of Brahman. This is the basic difference between the two. Prakriti's action cannot be attributed to Brahman. Sankhya has got disharmonious relationship, but Vedanta has good relationship between Prakriti and Purusha. In Vedanta, Prakriti does not exist separate from Brahman, representing Ardhanari, Shiva and Parvati. World has come out of Brahman, and Brahman lends existence to Prakriti, though Prakriti lends existence to the whole creation. Brahman lends existence to Prakriti, Prakriti lends existence to the whole creation. And the fifth point is, this is the which has come from actually Mundaka Upanishad and Chandogya also. We have seen in both. Eka vijnanena aneka vijnanam bhavati. Eka jnaha sarvajnaha bhavati. By knowing one, eka vijnanena, you can know everything. Aneka vijnanam bhavati, sarva vijnanam bhavati. So Upanishad says, upadana karana vijnanena sarva karyam vijnanam bhavati. By knowing one material cause, all products are also known, because products do not exist separate from the material cause. What is that? Upanishad gives Brahma Jnanam as the means of Sarva Vijnanam. If Prakriti is the material cause, then Prakriti Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam Bhavati. That should have been there. But therefore, Brahma Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam is set. So it is impossible in Sankhya philosophy. In Sankhya philosophy, what is there? Purusha is neither Karanam nor Karyam. We are going to discuss in detail this one later, in another occasion. So Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam does not fit in Sankhya system of philosophy. Chetana Karana Vada is unique in Vedanta Darshanam. It is not there in any of the other Astika Darshanas also. That is Chetana Karana Vada, very unique to Vedanta Shastra. So with this, we also conclude the conclusion part. So we have seen the general analysis, we have seen the word analysis, and we have also gone through the concluding points. So with this, the second sutram is over. Now let us start the third sutra. Third sutram, that is sutra third of the first part, of the first chapter. It is called Shastra Yonitvat. That is the sutra. Shastra Yonitvat. So Shruti being the means of its knowledge. Here also, only one adhikaranam, one topic, and this is Shastra Yoni Adhikarana. Name of the adhikaranam is called Shastra Yoni Adhikarana. Sutra is Shastra Yonitva, one word. Shastra Yonitva is one word. We have two interpretations for this sutra also. If one sutra can be interpreted in two ways, it is said to be the glory of the sutra. It's not confusion. If it can be interpreted in two ways, it is considered a glory of the sutra. While defining sutra, it may have many facets. We already defined in the beginning, many facets, many interpretations. We will take up the first interpretation for our study and see the general analysis now. The essence of this sutra is what? It confirms the omniscience of Brahma, which is indirectly revealed in the second sutra. So Brahma Sarvajnatvam is confirmed here. This was indicated in the second sutra. Now we will see how it is indicated in the second sutra so that we can refresh. It says Brahma is Jagat Karana, that is Sarva Karana. That is the explicit meaning of second sutra. Should be careful. It says Brahma is Jagat Karanam. By that it says Sarva Karana. It is the explicit meaning there in second sutra. So from this direct meaning, we can derive an indirect meaning also. So Ghatasya Karta Ghatajnaha. Sarvasya Karta Sarvajnaha. So Brahma Sarvajnam Sarvakaranatvatam Vetirekena Kulalavat. Same like part of this. So Brahman is omniscient because Brahman is the creator and is the Nimitta Karanam of everything. Now Vyasacharya confirms omniscience because Brahman is creator of Vedas also. We were talking about Jagat all along. Now Vyasacharya brings Brahman is creator of Vedas also. Shastra Yonihi. Veda Karta, creator of Vedas. Karta means Nimitta Karanam here. So in the previous sutra, Brahman is Nimitta Karanam of world, Jagat. And now he is creator of Vedas also. In previous sutra, Brahman is the creator of the Artha Prapancha. In the present sutra, Brahman is the creator of Shabda Prapancha. How does the statement, Brahman being Veda Karta, reveals omniscience of Brahman? It's a question. By pointing out, Brahman is the author of Vedas. Shankaracharya says, Vedas contain all knowledge. Veda consists of Paravidya as well as Aparavidya. Veda is considered to be Sarvajnaha. And what we study is only a small part of the Vedas. Vedas contain everything, particularly Brihadaranyaka and Chandogya. Vedas are available now are only an insignificant portion of the whole Vedas. Many are extinct. It was believed when Vyasacharya divided the Vedas into four, there used to be, it is believed that 1132 shakas were there. 21 shakas are branches in Rigveda itself. 101 shakas in Yajurveda. 1000 shakas in Samaveda. 9 shakas in Atharva Veda. And all put together is 1132 shakas. Now what is available is only 10 shakas, and among them also only 2 are complete nearly. That is how they all have been going away over the years, over the millennia. So even from Acharya's time and now, many quotations Acharya gives in Brahma Sutra are not available. Even in this available Veda, information is so great and has got all knowledge. So Shankaracharya makes a vyapti, a generalization. The author of a work always knows more than its content. Author of a book always knows more than the content of the book, because one can never express everything one knows. The expressed portion is less than the known portion. So Shankaracharya gives an example. Yatha Paninihi. He takes Panini as the example. What an example. Panini Sutras are so famous. Panini's work is so great. And Patanjali wrote commentary on Panini Sutras consisting of 9 volumes. Each one running to thousands of pages. So many secondary commentaries, tertiary commentaries, condensations, vartika, so many of them are there. Based on what? The nearly 4,000 sutras of Panini, which can be contained in a very small booklet as sutra form. And Panini's knowledge must be so much, much, much more than the content of Panini sutras. So the more one studies the sutras, more mind-boggling it will be. If that is so, Bhagavan or Brahman is the author of Vedas, what should be his knowledge? Therefore, Veda Jnana Adapi Adhika Jnanavan Brahman is Sarvajna. More than Veda's knowledge itself. So, general analysis of the sutra is what? Brahma Sarvajnam Veda Kartritvad. The previous sutra is Brahma Sarvajnam Jagat Kartritvad, because he is Jagat Karanam, he is Brahma Sarvajnam. Here, Veda Karanam, he is Brahma Sarvajnam. And we should note that it is accepted by us, the Vedantics. Vedas are apaurusheyam, anadi, not created by anyone, all that. The question is, if Vedas are apaurusheyam, how can you say Brahman has created Vedas if it is apaurusheyam? For that we say, when we say Brahman created Vedas, it does not mean Brahman intellectually invented Vedas like Vyasa writing the Mahabharata. This Vedic teaching was already there in unmanifest potential form. And Brahman only manifested exactly like creation. When we say Brahman created the world, means what? World was in existence in unmanifest or potential form before creation. So also, Veda Shastram was anadi and avyakrita prapanchasyam vyakaranam srishtihi. Similarly, Veda Shastram was in avyakrita rupa and Brahman changed it into vyakta rupa. Avyakta rupa to vyakta rupa. So Bhagavan's job is only manifesting. This is to be noted because in Nyaya philosophy, they say Bhagavan created Vedas. In this aspect, Vedanta is different from Nyaya system of philosophy. This we should understand clearly. Bhagavan does not create but manifest already existing Vedas. This information is needed to deal with several technical questions which we will see in later context. Bhagavan does not create but manifest already existing Vedas. And the next topic is Vishaya Vakya. Everything is based on an Upanishadic statement. That is a Vishaya Vakya. It is based on statement 2.4.10, which we quoted earlier, Abrahadarani Upanishad, known as Maitreyi Brahman. Brahman is logically revealed as Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam by giving three examples. For Srishti Karanam, the Agni Drishtanta was given, fire principle. Just as from fire smoke comes. And for Sthiti, the Drishtanta was what? Dundubi Drishtanta was given. Please refer to Brihadaranyaka lectures for these sections, 2.4.10. And for Laya, Samudra Drishtanta was given, just as all rivers merge into the sea. And there in the 10th mantra, Srishti Karanam is talked about. In several other places also, Srishti Karanam is said. And what is the uniqueness of this mantra? The uniqueness of that mantra is, in all other Srishti statements, Brahman is stated as creator of the world. And here in this unique mantra, it is said Brahman is the creator of Vedas also. Sayata ardrai dhagnehe abhyahitatim prithak dhumaha vinischaranti. When you burn a wet fuel, smoke comes out. Evam va are. Who is addressing are? Yajnavalkya is addressing his wife Maitreyi as Are, Evam va Are, O Maitreyi, Asya Mahato Bhutasya Nishvashitam Etade. All this is like Nishvashitam, the breathing of Brahman. And why breathing example is given? It is called Nishvashita or Leela Nyaya. Effortlessly, the Lord created the Vedas effortlessly, just as we breathe effortlessly. We are sitting and listening to the class. Are we making any thinking about are we breathing or not? It goes effortlessly. If there is a doubt, then we cannot be listening. So what are these Vedas? Rigvedo, Yajurvedaha, சாமவேதோ அதர்வாங்கிரசாம் இத்திஹாசாம் புராணம் வித்யாம் உபனிஷதாம் ஸ்லோகாஹாம் சூத்ராணி அனுவியாக்கியானானி வியாக்கியானானி ஆல் ஆஃப் தம். We have seen this mantra during the Brihadaranyaka lecture, but only I want to remind you one important point here. When the Upanishad says, uses the words like itihasa, purana and all in the mantra, do not think of it as Mahabharata, Ramayana and all. It means the story and other portions of the Vedas only. It doesn't refer to any of these Mahabharata and all those puranas or itihasas. Therefore, based on the Brihadaranyaka 2.4.10 mantra, Vyasacharya writes, Shastra Yonitvat Brahma Sarvajnam Vedasya Nimitta Karanatvate. That is the reason he gives. This is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis. The sutra has got two simple words, Shastram and Yoni. Joining together, we have one compound word, Shastra Yoni. And Shastra Yonitvat means because of being Shastra Yoni. The meaning of the word Shastram is Veda. Entire Veda consisting of Purva Bhaga, namely Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda, and Uttara Bhaga, the Jnana Kanda, entire thing is called Shastram. And why it is called Shastram? Shashanate Trayate Iti Shastra. Shastra means Shashanam, means teaching or commanding. And where do we see the commandments? In the Purva Bhaga, we get them. Actually, it is in Sikshavalli, even though it is Upanishad, first chapter in the Saitri Upanishad, still it has got a lot of Upasanas and Homas, Avanti Homam and all. So we still include them in the Karma portion. Satyam Vada, Dharmam Chara, Swadhyaya, Anma, Pramadaha, all are what? Commandments, imperative mood, all of them. Not only commandments, for violations also, what are the punishments, prayachitas are also given. Therefore, Shasana, Vidhi Nisheda. And in the Veda Antabhaga, there are no commandments at all, but revelation of facts only. What is the fact? You are already free. You are Brahman. You are already liberated. You need not work for one thing in life. Definitely, what is that? For every other thing you have to work, for one thing you don't have to work. And what is that one thing is? For which you need not work is moksha. Therefore, Shasanam has two meanings. In Karma Kanda, Shasana means commandment. In Jnana Kanda, Shastra means revelation of a fact. Thus, these two, what does Veda do now? Through these two commandments and also this revelation, Trayate, it protects from samsara. Trayate mahato bhayat, iti Shastra. In short, Vedaha, that is all the Shastras, they do this. And what is the second word? Yonihi. Yonihi, it has several meanings. In this context, it means Nimitta Karana, Karta, creator or author of the Vedas. Therefore, Shastra Yoni means the author of the Vedas. Therefore, Shastra Yoni Twat means being the author of the Vedas. With this, the word analysis also is over. Now we will come to the conclusion. We will see the five factors of Adhikaranam, because this is an independent Adhikaranam. Shastra Yoni Adhikaranam, this is called. So we have to look at all the five factors. And if it is an Adhikaranam, we already mentioned, it should consist of five factors. I mentioned this shloka at that time. Vishayo Vishayaschaivam Purva Pakshas Tatottaram Sangatischedi Panchangam Shastre Adhikaranam Smritam. Vishayaha, subject matter is Brahman. And Vishaya, Vishaya means doubt. Doubt is Brahman is the author of Veda or not. Brahman Vedasya Kartava Nava. Because in the previous sutra, it was said, Brahman is the creator of all. Does that include Veda also? And what is the Purva Paksha? Third factor. We will invariably take wrong stand only. Purva Paksha always takes the wrong stand. He says, Na Vedasya Karta. Brahman is not the creator of Vedas. Why? Vedasya anadityat, Vedasya nityatvat, Veda being eternal, being anadi, it need not be created, it is eternal. What is created is only anityam. Therefore, Veda is anadi nidhana vak. Anadi means anantam. Then how can be created? This is Purva Pakshi's view. And Siddhanta says, that even though Veda is anadi, we talk about the beginning of the Vedas because it has the state of manifestation and unmanifestation, exactly like the universe. That is why we say the whole Veda is in unmanifest state, is considered by Omkara, the Pranava. Yes, Chanda Samrishabho Vishwarupaha Chandobhyo Dhyamrita Atsam Babuva Samendro Medaya Aspranoto Amritasya Devadharano Bhuyasam. In Taittiri Upanishad, first chapter, it says, Chandasam, by churning the Vedas, Brahmaji took the butter, the essence, which is Omkara. So this Om was lying where? Akashe. I will take a couple of more minutes to finish this topic. Because Shabda is the property of Akasha. Therefore, Veda was there in the form of Omkara in Akasha. Akasha has only one quality, that is Shabda. And then Vayu has two, Shabda and Sparsha. Agni has three, Shabda, Sparsha and Rupa. And Jalam, Apaha, has four, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa and Gandha. And finally, Earth is having five, including taste also. So, Tasmadva, Etasmad Atmana Akashaha Sambhutaha. Akasha was where? In Brahman. So, from Brahman, Akasha came. Along with Akasha, Omkara was also born. From Omkara, the whole Prapancha is also born. Therefore, Veda is eternal and still authored by Brahman. Not in the form of an intellectual creation, but as manifestation. That is the Siddhanta. That is Vedantin's view. Next, what is the Sangati? Sangati connection between the previous Adhikaranam and this? The connection is said to be Akshepa Sangati, as I mentioned. This Adhikaranam answers an objection which is raised based on previous Adhikaranam. In the previous sutra, Brahman is said to be Sarva Karanam. And based on that, an objection is raised, Akshepa. The Purvapakshi says, I can accept Brahman is Karanam of everything, but I won't accept Sarva Karanam. It is Karanam of everything except the Vedas. That is his claim. Why? Because Veda is anadi and therefore Brahman is not Sarva Karana. But the present sutra says Brahman Vedasya Api Karanatvatam. Brahman continues to be Sarva Karanam, including Vedas. And therefore Brahman is Sarvajnam Eva. Therefore the omniscience of Brahman is reinforced by negating the objection raised by the Purva Mimamsa philosopher Purvapakshi. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitah Tasya Prakriti Linasya Parasamaheshwarah.